So what I'm going to do is hand it over to Kim now, and she's going to share our trip, and I'll also share parts as well. So bless your hearts. Here you are, Doris.
Okay, well, God bless you all, and, well, I don't even know where to begin, but we had such an awesome time. The trip started with myself and Lawrence driving up to London with our son Danny, because he was going to use our car while we were away, and plus it was really expensive to park it in the London airport car park for 3 weeks. So we had great fellowship going up with Danny and Amber, and they dropped us off and we caught our flight, and the first place we went was to the Georgia camp. And we were a little apprehensive, to be honest. It's been a long time since we've seen a lot of the believers in America, and obviously us being England and so far away all the time, we didn't know what sort of people were going to be there. Was it anybody we knew? But as soon as we pulled up, the first person that came to greet us was Miguel. He's married to Megan, and they live in Houston, Texas. And I think a lot of you might know him. He's the rapper, but he sings for God. Yeah. And he was real blessed to see us. And it took about an hour, and we get to the Georgia camp. It's about midnight. And there was a few people that stayed up because they knew that we were coming. And it was just awesome. Just the love, the fellowship. We didn't actually go to bed until about 5:30 in the morning, to be told that we had to be ready by 8 for breakfast. So we weren't the only ones that were tired, but it was just refreshing to be around the believers and to share testimonies and just have like hugs and kisses and just people that we haven't seen for so long. Got to share the word. Now, again, you know, we have a lot of people that swing one way, that say that you only need the scriptures. We had others that swing the other way that say you only need the Bible. But I believe that it's a bit of both. We can be in the middle. We can walk by that Spirit, and we can share that word of God via the scriptures. You know, God works within us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if it means that we open our Bibles and we show people, like in a fellowship surroundings. I mean, I know we don't take our Bibles out every day when we go out witnessing. We allow God to work within us to do that. So we just lovingly loved people. We shared the word. We walked by the Spirit. And I got really blessed. There was a couple of different people that were worshipping God. One lady danced. And when she danced, she explained a little bit about her life. And, you know, you think people worshipping God by dancing? But it was, well, it brought tears to my eyes. You know, certain ways that she would explain, like when she lifted her hands, she said that she was lifting her hands to God. And it was just a real touching moment for me personally. Not that I'm a dancer, but it really touched my life. And then on the other hand was, some people would raise their hands while people were singing. And if you're a little bit like me, I was a little bit rigid about that. But then somebody told me or shared with me, when you have a little child and they hold their hands up to their mummy or daddy, it means they want to be picked up. And, you know, when we're worshipping God in spirit and in truth, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands. You know, if you want God to lift you up and to take you in his arms and hold you, you know, the way they explained it was absolutely beautiful. And that really blessed me as well. That was a huge testimony for me. I shared a little bit on the second day. I just shared on us, our relationship with God, the love that we have for one another. I also shared on the scriptures, and that we can walk by that power of God. I share testimonies from our lives, what God's done in our life. And on the last sharing I did on the Sunday, it was more practical, because I feel that I'm a very practical person. It's hard for me to open the Word and do scripture after scripture after scripture. I like to be able to elaborate, especially if it's things that's going on in my life. So I ended up sharing on the marriage. And there was a lot of young people there that either just got married or there were some that are going to get married. And afterwards, they came up to me and said how blessed they were. being that this marriage is such an important thing, especially if they're marrying unto God, you know, within a husband and a wife. So I shared the word on that, and it was our 30th year wedding anniversary this year, actually, so we had a lot to share about on that one. Yeah, poor Lawrence. I think it's poor Kim, actually.
Poor Kim.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we left Georgia, and we went to New York. And Nancy was there, and she picked us up from the airport with her son Scott, and we're driving over the bridge, and I can't remember the name of the cliff and the trees, but it's absolutely beautiful. But they took us to this hotel, and well, I felt like royalty. It was such.
You were.
It was absolutely astounding. I mean, it was such a beautiful hotel, and I really want to thank Nancy and Scott, because they were the ones that looked it out, they researched it, and they found it, and it totally blessed me and Lawrence to bits. The bed, well, we needed a foghorn to speak to each other, because it was that big. And it was the most comfy bed ever.
And we still slept on the edges.
Yeah, and we still slept on the edges. We forgot that we didn't have the dogs with us. But anyway, and then that night, we had believers from New York that came to visit. And we had a wonderful fellowship with them.
Big old back lobby.
Yeah, the hotel lobby was, I think Lawrence put pictures up, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they had waterfalls and it was just very, 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 very royal. Beautiful, beautiful place. So if you're ever looking for somewhere in New York to stay, or if you're looking for somewhere maybe to hold a fellowship, get a hold of Nancy and she'll put you in contact with them. It was the Crown Plaza, and it was standing. Anyway.
Very fitting name for a queen.
Yeah.
Bristol.
The queen from Bristol, yes. Twat, twat. So, and then the next day, Nancy, this was funny because me and Lawrence thought we were going to get a lay-in the next day. And Nancy said, well, we got a few things planned, and you know that there were certain things that you wanted to do, Kim. She said, so I think if we meet, about 8 a.m.? And me and Lawrence looked at each other and thought, what?
But it was good.
But we met at 8:30, and what a awesome day we had. I can't even name everything that we got to see, but I do know that Nancy is an older lady than me, but my God, that woman has stamina. She walks with that Christ within her like there's nothing else, I'll tell you.
And I said to Kim, don't mess with Nancy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Lawrence...
I limped with Christ and me. We limped together.
Even Lawrence had problems keeping up with her at one point. But anyway, so we went to the Hurstfield Inn and we met her granddaughter that works for the Good Housekeeping. And I have a huge, huge testimony from this one because she works in the makeup department. And going back about a year ago, Leanne bought me some number 7 makeup, some moisturizer and other bits and pieces, which is a brand make here in England. Anyway, I didn't use it. I thought, oh, that's not very good, you know. I'll keep to me L'Oreal, you know, me wrinkle cream. Anyway, but it's not cement, love. So we met Nancy's granddaughter, and she's there in the makeup department, and I just said to her, oh, you sort of do research on what is the best buy, and she said, yeah. She said, actually, moisturizer, she said, I think it comes from your country. The best one on the market is number 7. After all their research and all the different brands, number 7 came out on top. So if you can get a hold of it, There's your best bargain. There's your tip for the year. Number 7 moisturiser and number 7 serum. And I'll tell you what, it's not that very expensive either, so that's a real blessing. So, and
Sarah Jane's night cream is amazing.
Number 7, yes. They tested it all, and number 7 came out at the top. So that was a real blessing. And I already had some in the cupboard, so praise God on that one. And then we done a little bit of travelling around, and we saw Trump Towers. And we went past... we went to Trump Towers. We did a little bit of... walking around the shops in the area. We went, I was just about to say that, love, that came after, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Then we went to Carmine's, to an Italian restaurant that has been there for years and years and years. And if you would like a reservation on Christmas Eve, you need to book 2 years in advance at least, because they're fully booked. But Nancy got us in, and we had a beautiful meal in there with her and Scott. And beautiful pasta, absolutely beautiful. And that was a real honour and privilege to be able to taste that. We went to the Twin Towers, which was
very sad.
Very sad, actually. It was one of the things I had on my list that I wanted to just pay my respects. But it was, there was loads and loads of people there, but I can't say it was solemn. People weren't solemn, but I can't say they were joyful either. It was just people very respectful, for those that lost their lives. But, you know, again, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world, and the Americans have really, done a fantastic job there. And made it a place of respect, and you know, I know for a fact that God, you know, his day comes, the judgment comes from him, so we don't have to judge anyone for what they have done or are going to do, but just that God will have his day. So, but we left there, and we went to Trump Towers, and I got my photograph done with the Secret Service bloke, even though you're not supposed to.
And touched him.
And I touched him. Well, I said, can I touch you? And he said no, so I just put my hand on his shoulder, because I'm English, I didn't understand his American accent. So.
Yeah.
He was like RoboCop, actually. He was all done up to the nines, but anyway. But, we left Nancy there, and she had a cup of tea. And we went with Scott. And what was that square we went to where all the flags were flying? Can you remember the name?
Rockefeller Center.
That's it. The Rockefeller Center. And it was pretty awesome, actually, because I found our English flag. We were right on this corner. And all the flags were flying. It was quite windy. And it was just the English flag that was sort of slightly... curled around the pole, and as there was a policeman that walked by, and I'm trying to blow on this flag to try and make it, I mean, it was all the way up the pole. I looked ridiculous, and the policeman looked at me, and I said, it's okay, I said, because God's going to make that fly in a minute. But anyway, the wind picked up and it started to move, didn't it, love? And the flag almost started flying. Anyway, it was a bit of fun. And we left there, and then we went back and we met Nancy. And we then went, oh, I'm so excited. We then went to the Plaza, and it's a beautiful hotel.
They filmed Home Alone in there.
Yeah, they filmed Home Alone in there. And we went down the stairs. I think it was too expensive for us to have afternoon. Well, it wasn't even afternoon. It was like early evening now. But very expensive if you wanted afternoon tea there. But we went down the stairs, and Nancy told me about this book called Eloise, and it's about a little girl that lived in the Plaza. Anyway, we found them, and Nancy bought one for Maya. I got dry throat. Excuse me a minute, I need to have a drink.
Quick.
You have to cut this out.
Don't choke.
Anyway, Nancy bought a book from Anne, and we bought her one as well about Christmas with Eloise at the Plaza. And anyway, I was itching, absolutely itching to get out of there, because I then got on a horse and carriage with my husband, and we went round Central Park in the dark, and it was special. It was my birthday on October the 7th, and he asked me what I wanted, and I said, nothing, really. Although he did buy me a bottle of perfume and a card, and then he surprised me with the... I did say I would love a trip around Central Park on the horse and carriage.
Oh, you altering mums!
And then I got it! And I had, and we had purple. The carriage was purple, and our blanket that was over us was purple, so we felt like royalty. So anyway, and it was really a really wonderful day. I don't think we actually got back till... We left at 8.30 in the morning, and I don't think we got back till about 9.30 at night. But it was a day to remember. And then as we're driving back, Nancy was saying, you know, I don't think you guys should get the train up. She said, me and Scott are going to take you up. And we were like, oh, Nancy, you've done enough for us. And she said, no, I really feel that I want to take you up. She said, God's telling me I'm taking you up to Schenectady. Yeah. I have a problem saying that word.
Well.
I said it well. I've been teaching myself Schenectady. Anyway, we thanked her, and she said that Scott would be over in the morning and he would pick us up, and then we could go over to her house and we'll meet Art, yeah, and then we'll travel up. So anyway, Scott comes and gets us. We have a bit of breakfast with Scott and we drive to Nancy's, and what should greet me but this little white fluffy dog. Oh my God, I fell in love. And he would like lay in my arms like a baby. Aww. He was lush. He was absolutely lush. Anyway, we're sat there.
Buddy's black.
Yeah. So then we get to we're sat there in the living room, and all of a sudden the news comes on about the pipe bombs in New York. And all the letter bomb, pipe bomb things that they'd sent out, and they were going 58th Street down, which we would have actually been on that train to get up to Schenectady, and they actually put New York into a lockdown. So Nancy was really walking with God, because then we weren't on the train, we were actually in a car, and we didn't have to go through the centre of New York, so that was a blessing. So we get up to Schenectady, and we're there. We had a meal with Brendan and Annie, his wife-to-be, with Nancy and Scott, and then they left to head back to New York, and we're there with Brendan, and we're thinking, oh yes, we got a lion in the morning. And Brendan said, oh, by the way, my dad has a fellowship in the morning at 6:30, but it's okay, you don't have to get up if you don't want to. And I said, and Lawrence went, oh no, no, we're here to fellowship. Well, if looks could kill. I was like, well, speak for yourself. No, no. So we got up really early the next morning, and we went to fellowship with Brendan and his dad, and what an awesome time we had. Really awesome time. So then the next thing was, we left. What time did we leave the fellowship? About 9:30, 10?
So, yeah, maybe a little bit earlier. I'm not too sure.
It was quite a long day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we went back and we got to fellowship with all the other guys, which was pretty awesome. And we got to see AJ and Anna. And we got to see Zach Ginn. And we had an awesome time there with those guys as well. The time went so fast, it was unbelievable. They've got a real great program going on there. Good Clean Living. And basically, Brendan's bought some houses with his dad and I believe someone else as well. And they're doing them up. And they're letting believers move in, or maybe they're not believers, but people that move in do end up being believers. It's pretty awesome. And it's just a way of being able to um, sort of really raise the condition of living, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are really doing a fantastic job there, and they're always out there witnessing, they're always sharing the word. And they basically own a house on three corners. And they can't own the one on the fourth corner because it happens to be a church right now, but I'm sure they'll be taking that one over soon as well. And then we went to leave the next morning, and we ended up having breakfast with our Patrick Dunn, up in Albany. And then he ended up taking us to the airport, so we got to fellowship with him as well, and that was awesome. We flew from there to Dallas to Stacey and Vicky Hart's. You're looking at me funny, love.
No, it was Dallas.
It was straight from there to Dallas to Stacey and Vicky Hart's. Woohoo! And that's where Amy's from, as you hear her in the background there. And, well, as you know, it was Stacey, Vicky and Daniel. They were sat at breakfast one morning just praying, and God was working in them. And it was those guys that got inspired by God to invite us over. And they paid for the whole trip, our flights to and from. And when we got there, they received us with much love. And sorry, love.
Was it? The sneeze?
I thought I was. But Lawrence will have to edit that a little bit out again. Anyway, Stacey and Vicky, they open arms. We had a wonderful fellowship with them. We got to meet Mary McGarry. And we also got to meet Marita. Marita.
Marita. Oh. Yeah.
Marita.
Marita. Amy's there. She can tell you who it was. She don't actually live there, but she'd come over to visit for the fellowship.
Marita,
that's it. She'd come down to fellowship with us as well. And on the Saturday, we had a big fellowship in the hotel, about 42 people, and we got to share there. Loads of people, got a few people that we'd met before, some that we hadn't. Great testimonies, people really. And then the funny thing was, when I told you in the beginning that there was a lady dancing at the Georgia camp, then at Stacey and Vicky's in Dallas, there was another lady, Mary McGarry, and she danced, but she was Hawaiian. So she was showing how she worships God, and again she explained a little bit, but like she was showing her hands, so as she lifted one hand up in the air, that was God, and then she'd bring the other hand up to meet God, which was us, or you as a person, and then together she would like make waves, and that you and God go together. Well, again I had tears, I thought that was pretty original, that you know, that people have talents, and, you know, maybe they play guitar, maybe they sing, maybe they dance, but it's all ways of worshipping God as an individual. I'm not saying everybody's got to go out and start dancing for God, but, like, if it's in your heart, and you're at home, and you've got the music on, you want to start dancing and praising God, there's nothing wrong with that. So anyway, and then Lawrence was going to share a little bit from his faith confession syllabus, but I think he read one or two scriptures and then suddenly he was off.
It's on the inside, I put it on the blog.
You've put it on the blog already, and that was an awesome teaching. Anyway, then what was the next thing we done? The next thing we done was we went out for a meal, all of us, 42 people. And Stacey and Vicky's ministry paid for that. And he did say, you can have whatever you want, starters, main, you can even have two desserts, but we have to be gone by 10. So in other words, if you want two desserts, you've got to eat them pretty quick. You could have alcohol, but you had to pay for it yourself. It wasn't going to be done on the ministry account. But their hearts, man, their hearts, unbelievable. I mean, they really love God, they really love people, and they show it too. And then the next day we had the Sunday fellowship. And, you know, all the wonderful faces that I remember being at Stacey's, and many more new ones as well. So, again, wonderful fellowship. Obviously, we got to spend a lot more time with Amy, who's on the Skype tonight. And because they done the organising and brought us over, they made sure that they had a long weekend with us. It wasn't none of this fly in, fly out. So that was pretty awesome as well. And then from there, we flew to Corpus Christi. And we stayed with Tim and Rosa Robb. And I was very sad to leave, actually. we've never really, we've sort of known Tim and Rosa, but we've never really fellowshipped, like, intently with them. But we had an absolute awesome time. It was Tim's birthday, and we were out for a meal. And it's quarter past nine. Okay.
Is the clock wrong? Half ten. I was half ten.
Alright. God bless Christ. God bless Jason. And then the next thing, we came home and they said that they were going to be having a fellowship, but they really didn't know who was going to turn up or how many were turning up. They just put it out that, you know, they were going to be holding a fellowship, and they just let it, God, work within people's hearts. And I think probably about 25 people turned up. And again, Lawrence shared, and he shared in power, I believe. Did you record that one?
What one?
It, Tim and Rosa's.
No.
But again, it was more on the lines of your faith, your confession, say what you want, not what you see. You know, that we can walk by the Spirit, that we do need our Bibles, you know, because it's good to read and it's good to study. And basically, we don't have to swing all the way, all scripture, and we don't have to swing only by the Spirit, that we do what God tells us to do as individuals. We walk by that Spirit and we let God lead and guide us. And people were so, so blessed with that. And then we left there and we went to El Paso, Texas, and we stayed with Pepe and Carolina Diaz. And again, got to see Donaldo, we got to see Fred, we got to see, yeah, we had a fantastic time. Domingo was there as well, and we had fellowship with them, beautiful, tender hearts. And one of the suitcases, oh, we went into Mexico, over into Juarez, and we were right up in the mountain, and on actually just below where we were, we could sort of see the mountain. We were at like the foot of the mountain. But as you look up, there was this sign that somebody had painted in white onto the rock of the mountain. And it basically transferred in the Word of God.
Read the Bible.
Read your Bible, yeah, or something
like that. Yeah. I can't remember.
And so even though it was a very destitute area, the believers, their hearts, their love, you know, they were so blessed to see us, the food they laid on. We had an awesome time. And again, somebody danced and a couple of people sang, and it just all seemed fitting, like the way that the different ways that people had a relationship with God was really special, and it was beautiful. So then we left there and we flew to Houston, Texas, and that was the last leg of our journey. We did do a lot of ministering, physical ministering. I mean, people were, their needs were met. We did, oh, there is one I have to correct, but I'll come back to that, because that was a biggie actually. But, you know, there was just real simple things that people just wanted us to pray with them or to believe along with them. There was, you could actually see people ministering to each other, you know, and meeting needs that way, just how God was working within them. And in Houston, we got to stay with Tom and Laurie and West. And that was just, you know, when I did share on how we got to meet Tom and Laurie, and it was many years ago, you'll probably hear it on one of the teachings, because I shared it a couple of times. Because, you know, when we walk by that Spirit of God, God leads and guides us. And, you know, that night that Lawrence said we were taking Taylor back home to the hotel, we never knew the outcome or what that outcome would entail. And basically, with his dad feeling so inspired to send us over to San Francisco, me, Lawrence, and the three kids, that's how we got to meet the believers of California. And Tom and Lorian used to live there in Benicia, and we went up to see them, and that was the first time, probably about
2001 or 2, just after the Twin Towers, it was the year after.
So 2001, so 17 years ago. So we've known them for quite a while, and so we got to stay with them in Houston, because that's where they've moved to now. And we had great fellowship with them, you know, sharing our hearts and what God is working in us. And then we had fellowship with Hauk on the Sunday, a big fellowship there, and lots of people just so blessed to see us. And, you know, just to think that
many people came.
We live in the UK and we're over there fellowshipping, yet, you know, they were just saying how much they love the website, how much, you know, they love Lawrence's heart and how his teachings and just the way that we work together. And, you know, they really do not look up to us, but really respect our stand, basically, for God as a couple and individually. So it was pretty awesome. And then it was very sad, because then on the Monday we had to make our way to the airport, and we flew home Monday evening and we got home Tuesday morning. But one thing I did want to say is that there was a couple at the Georgia camp, and I know they won't mind me saying, it was Diane and Mac McAllister, and we got to share a cabin with them, and they fellowship in Houston, and they've had a rough couple of years, really rough couple of years, and the Georgia camp really changed their lives, with the heart, with the love, and also God had showed things to Diane, and things that she felt that she needed to make amends on, and she did that, and it cleared the air, and she felt like this whole power of God just totally lifted everything from her. And then she felt like she wanted to have her marriage renewed, and next thing, her, Mac, and her kids and their partners came up to me and Lawrence and asked Lawrence if Lawrence would renew their marriage vows. And Lawrence, being a joker, saying, oh my God, that's a miracle, because usually I only do funerals. But, and it was a real, real tender time. I mean, Lawrence prayed with them first, and then he got them to speak words to each other, and then we had word of prophecy. Lawrence did a word of prophecy over them, and I did a word of prophecy over them. And, it was a real touching time, actually. And these guys have been married, I believe, 38 years. So, and now they've just made a new commitment to each other and to God, and it was really, really special. So, there's a verse of scripture I'd like to share with you, because this was what I finished off with in Houston. And I know that God was showing me, so I want to show you. And it's in Isaiah, and it's in chapter 58, and we're going to read from, so Isaiah, chapter 58, and we're going to read from verse 8 to 12. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fell not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And I really, really believe that we were restoring people back to God, and that these drought places, these dry waste places, you know, that house generations upon generations, we were repairing the breach. You know, there's gaps, and I know that God's going to start filling all those gaps, so there's not so much distance between us all. And it was just a really, really wonderful trip, and I'm looking forward to the next one. So that's what I wanted to share.
That's awesome, Kim. Well, because Kim kind of gave basically a whole coverage, I just fill in the
bits. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Made my job easier. Well, no, that was really great what Kim shared, and everywhere we went was just such a wonderful time. And even though we got this wonderful Skype fellowship, there's nothing like face-to-face contact and seeing one another and having that rich fellowship. And, you know, I was, one of the biggest highlights for me was meeting Nancy and Scott. You know, because I followed Nancy on Facebook for a long time. She always, I just was kind of drawn to her and the posts that she puts. And she's, you know, she's a ballsy lady. She say what she mean and mean what she says, no messing around. And I do like that, and she's always encouraged me, and then we kind of got talking with one another, and it's just, it was a blessing to meet you, Nancy and Scott, and Artie as well, and you guys are just absolutely wonderful, fantastic believers, and your stand, and your heart, and your love, and your insight is a great blessing to our lives, and I, you know, that time in New York with you guys was very special to me, and I thank God for that.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. We had such a good time. It was the highlight. We've been looking forward for it for months.
It was just
We had a great bunch of believers. We certainly do. A lot of heart here.
Oh, there is a lot of heart. And then we met the other believers in New York as well. And it was just great to see people. And, you know, we also got to meet Sal at the Atlanta camp. Sara Rico and Linda, and they got just wonderful hearts, and the praise and the worship. Now, I just want to share, I'll just pick out a few bits. So, like, at the Atlanta camp, it was just a fantastic time, and on the way, on the plane, I said, Father, so what's this trip about? And when I look back now, I could see that God was showing us what was happening everywhere, where we went, where the hearts of the people were, where the thinking was, and he was just really working in us to be a blessing. And I know that everyone that we met was also a blessing to us. We was very much encouraged, as well as we were able to encourage. And God doesn't send people or call people for a reason to go somewhere for no reason. There's a reason behind it. So at the camp, there was one special, it was just a fantastic camp. You could see people walking by the Spirit of God. You can see people were walking in the love of God. Everyone wasn't looking to their own things, but at the things of others. And I was in a line getting some food, and one believer come up to me, and they just put their hand on my shoulder and said, I'm so blessed that you're here, and started crying. And this really touched my heart. And I'm going to say his name because he won't mind. I've told everyone else. It was Tom West. And I've just seen just the love of God coming from this guy. And he had a great heart, and you know, there was no kidding around. It was genuine. And to see that come from someone that's quite a man's man, you know, it really blessed me a lot. And then to meet Donny Granero and Patty, they were great people. We had a great time with them. To meet Justin and Alicia and everyone we met there. I can't remember every single name, but all of you guys were just fantastic if you're listening to this. And that camp was a special camp, and especially Don, which was Elisa's dad. He was a lovely guy, great heart. So God was just showing us, you know, that he is bringing and restoring his people. And it's not something that we can do out of our flesh, but it's the Spirit of God working in each person. And as we're humble to God, and as we see the needs of people, instead of judging people or what they may be saying about certain things, if we just be all things to all men, God can repair those broken things. And God is a God of restoration, and he will have his way. And believe me, I believe before Jesus Christ returns, the believers are going to go out with a blaze of glory. And God is going to, you know, the people that are lost right now, they're going to be saved. The ones that are lost and searching, he's working in his people to rise up. So anyway, we had a great time at the Atlanta camp. God showed us many things personally. And then we went to New York. We had a great time with Nancy. I got to spend some nice time also with Brendan Nally, who's a wonderful young man. And God's working in him powerfully, this young kid. And he has a great love for God, and he's bold, and he will express himself how he wants to. And that was great encouragement. We got to meet AJ Fowler, which was really great, and we had great big hugs with him, and we met lots of wonderful believers there, so that was a great time there. And then we went to Dallas, like Kim said. We had a wonderful time with Stacy and Vicky and Daniel Ginn, Amy, all the believers there, Renita. It was just such a great time. And I was so blown away with these guys, because their love and their heart for God's people was certainly evident. And what blew me away, the big thing, was how Vicky, Stacy, with Daniel as well, how they utilized the abundant sharing. Because Stacy really could be full-time minister if he wants to, but he's still a teacher. But they utilized that abundant sharing to empower God's people. They paid for our trip, not just to Dallas, but to every place we went. And also, when we had this big meeting of 42 people, like Kim said, he invited everyone so that everybody could participate and break bread together. And God is really at work, and that really built a vision in my heart. That's what my heart is. I want to be so empowered that I can empower other people, that we can be a blessing. It's not that full-time ministers have to keep all the money to themselves. They take what they need to live, and they use the rest to help people. That's what I've seen, and that's what blessed me. Because every need was supplied, and everyone was encouraged, and no one had need. And we see that in the book of Acts. We see that in Acts chapter 2. We see it all through the book of Acts. When the people of God were moving together and working together, then things really moved powerfully. And so this was great. I also got to, like Kim said, I printed off the first session of my syllabus, Faith and Confession. And I was going to share from that. But God had other plans. And God just showed me that fear, for the beginning of that meeting, to start off with fear. And I just started off with saying the phrase fear. And you can hear that teaching on the website. I put it on today. It was God working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God, you know, just was showing me about the scriptures and the speaking by the Spirit. And I think a lot of things got mixed up. Some things were said that weren't meant to be said. Not from me, but I mean previously, where people think, well, now they don't need the scriptures, so we're just walking by the Spirit. But it wasn't like that at all. What I shared was, listen, you can't put a law on someone. If God is working in you, you do what God shows you to do. If God wants me to go to the scriptures, I'll go to the scriptures. In fact, I read the scriptures, I study the scriptures, I work them. But if God wants me to speak like he's doing now, then that's what we do. Anyway, so that was kind of addressed, and I had lots of people on all of the places we went mention this to me. And so I just shared my heart, and I know that the scriptures show us that we're to walk by the Spirit, that we can talk by the Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ actually spoke by the Spirit of God. We know that there's one place recorded in the scriptures where Jesus Christ opened up the scrolls in Luke 4:17 and 18 and 19. And then he always would reference the scriptures. He would say to people, have you not read? So it's walking by the Spirit of God, doing those things that God wants us to do, but that doesn't mean that we don't need the scriptures, right? And I think that some people have took things what other people have said in the wrong way, in the wrong light. But anyway, it's for you to work out with you and God. But I know I know that God has had the scriptures written down for us to know, to see his heart. And I know that he's given us his Spirit so that we can walk and manifest his power, and that we can bring deliverance to people, that God does work in us and he does give us words to speak. We know that the prophets, even though they had the Lord, they would speak the things that God put in their heart. This was kind of like a little bit of a theme. And I addressed it, you know, as God showed me to speak about it. Maybe not long. Sometimes it was long, sometimes it was just short. But I know everyone received what was said because they seen my heart. And you know, God was working and God was showing. So we do what God puts in our hearts to do. You open up the scriptures, you want to open up that scriptures, you open it up, you teach from it, if God shows you to do that. If God inspires you to say something, like when we're out witnessing, he can give you the words also. So just not make a law out of it, and let's not people put a law on you. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? You know, I've had people say to me, you've got to study. And then I've had other people say to me, you've got to speak by the Spirit. Do what God puts in your heart. There's no law. Don't tell anybody what they should do. But God is working in all of us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We know what's right in our heart, and we do those things that are pleasing to God. We please God, not man. We say what God shows us to say. So I know that God give you understanding in these things, and so there is liberty in what we do. But I was just so very blessed, and I know that we're all to give. We're all to be there to encourage one another. Satan is a liar, and he'll make you think that you're the only one going through what you're going through. That's the other thing I've seen. There were many needs, many people going through difficult times. Even the hottest of the people were going through challenging times. But Satan will make you think that it's just you by yourself, that you're the only one going through it. And that's why we need the body of Christ. You know, what's going on with one believer is definitely going on in other believers' lives. And God will restore what's broken. He's restoring the body of Christ, those that are humble heart, that wants to move. What I've seen is that when we disagree on something, we're quick enough to shut the door on the other person and walk away. And we don't have to do that if we allow God to work, and then he can do his business. So anyway, this was just like a quick overview of everything. But there was something I was reading this morning that I just want to read through. And again, funnily enough, it's in Isaiah. And it really blessed me, because God has provided everything for us through Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ is, so will be in this world. God is at work. God is going to open those doors for us to move through. God will begin at the house of God. He wants his people blessed. He wants his people moving. He wants his people encouraged. I believe God was doing that in us when we went. It was great to see other believers. And I know a lot of believers have the same heart and mind, even though they didn't say that. You can know, because why? We got the Spirit of God, right? So we can discern. And I know a lot of people were refreshed. We were very refreshed. And so I'm just looking forward to seeing what other doors God's going to open for us. But I know that God wants his people together. He doesn't want us isolated on our own, thinking that everyone's doing different things, when really we're all going through the same thing. And the adversary puts up these smoke screens to try and trick us. And he's the thief, and he can only steal from us when we believe his lies. Okay, so, you know, we just keep moving with God. We just keep doing what he puts in our hearts to do. Whatever area within the body of Christ you are ministering, and which whatever way you're ministering, continue to do that, because God's working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And don't let anyone put you down. No one's got the whole angle on the truth. All right, it's as the body of Christ we will know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. With that said, I just want to go to Isaiah 55 if you're there. And again, this will all be going on the website. So Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me." See, God wants a living relationship with you. God is a living God. And like God was showing me when we were traveling, he reminded me of Jeremiah 2:13 that, you know, he says, "For my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." He didn't say, "My people have forsaken my scriptures or my commandments or my prophets." He said, "My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." See, we need to go back to God, who's the source of everything that we have in life and living. We go to him, the living God. He's the one that's directing our hearts. He will show you what to do. He'll show you what to use. He will show you how to minister and how to manifest his power. He says, "Incline your ear unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commandment to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." God wants you to go to him. God wants you to be still and know that he is God. Listen to what he's telling you. He can show you via the scripture. He's the one that will open up the scriptures to you. If we approach the scripture just with the carnal mind, then you won't understand it. It just becomes knowledge. But it's the Spirit of God that opens up the scriptures to us and shows us how to live and move and how God would have us walk. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This is what God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." You think you know it all? We think we know it all? No, we don't. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." When God's word's coming from your mouth, then you're going to water what God wants you to water. You're going to sow what God wants you to sow. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So for me, the trip was really wonderful. God showed me many needs, and he inspired me. Like I said, I don't know everything, but I'm learning. It was just a fantastic trip, and I believe there'd be many more. What is your desire with God? Give him your desire and ask him to open doors for you, because there's many things that God wants you to do, and he'll give you what you need to do. He's the one that supplies us. And like I said, we got his scriptures, we got the Spirit of God. We can't go wrong when we just keep humble to the Father and we do what he directs us to do. So that's what I wanted to share. So bless your hearts.
Thank you so much for your sharings, him and Lawrence and the others before too. It was really nice. I was really missing you all.
Oh, bless your heart.
Not only Lawrence and Kim, but all, and as I was, remember, I was praying for you all, and I really miss you guys. Really sweet time.
Oh, bless your heart. It was a long one tonight, eh?
For me it's okay. Bill is already almost sleeping.
No, that's not true.
No, but by this hour you are already in bed.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, it's better than being mad, you know.
Oh, I thought I'd put you off to sleep.
Great time.
That's great.
It was amazing because during the time you were out in the United States, the first days, I was missing already you guys, so I was listening teachings, and I found some videos, I think. I don't know if it was from Nepal or India or both. I started seeing a little bit of it, and I was starting, I was talking about this with Pedro, and I will share it. It will be really fast.
Okay.
And I was struggling because people dance, or they praise God the way they know it, they are used to. And I was struggling with that. And I was asking God, what is happening here? Why are they dancing? Or even if I was so, I saw the site of the place where you had the camp, and I saw the photos of the believers with the hands up. And I was struggling with that in my mind, and I was, God, this is not, what am I thinking? What is this? And then he was showing me stuff like when King David come from a battle.
Yeah.
And he was dancing. And
jumping and dancing, and showing his lower parts.
Oh my God! I was not going to say that.
And that's what happened.
Yes. So God was showing me that I cannot be so hard on my heart, and people have different ways to praise God.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because Kim was showing the same. And I was thinking about the hands up, and why are they doing that? But I don't understand. I even asked Pedro, why do you do that? And it's really something, because when the child wants to go to their parents' lab, she put her hands up. And it was really...
Yeah, to be picked up.
Yes, it is funny, so we have the same, almost the same understanding or the same experience. Wow. With someone telling different things and different ways to praise God. Is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It really blessed me when it was actually Linda Arrico from New York that shared with me about, like, when a child puts its hands up to its mummy or daddy to be lifted up. And I thought that was a great terminology, because, like, when we worship God, if we were to lift our hands, it's like asking God to pick us up, really. But I was so rigid about it before, like, you know, thinking it was very strange, people lifting their hands and, you know, and people dancing and, you know, getting all excited. But It's just an extension of their worship and praise to God. So, you know, it's not that you've got to do it, and it's not that you haven't got to do it. You know, it's down to the individual. But I thought it was a very neat way that she explained that, you know, about a little child raising their hands to mummy or daddy.
Yes, it's great. For me, it was really nice, because my heart was struggling with that, and we cannot be so hard with that, because we are all different.
Yes, we are. And we all worship differently as well.
Yeah. Yeah, is that?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, I'm really blessed that you will enjoy it there, because whenever we are in family, with God's family, it's really nice. We can see all kind of different things, like you said, walking in spirit, walking in God's love. There is always something, and God knows what we need to see and what we need to do.
Yeah. That lady that, Mary McGarry, that lives in, comes from Hawaii.
I know her.
Yeah.
You know her.
Do you?
Yeah, she's lovely.
What a beautiful heart. And her dance reduced.
And her son too, yes.
Yes.
You know, what's his name?
Andrew.
Yes. Andrew McGarry, yeah. That's it. They go to the family camp too.
Oh. Yeah, I believe they do, but her dance reduced me to tears. Like, when she was explaining the hand actions and everything, it really blessed me. Really, really blessed me, that dance she done.
Yeah, we really need to hear sometimes different, not different ways, but God work with us individually, so sometimes we need to hear others' experience with God so we can understand.
Yeah.
Look ahead. Yeah.
And not to look at them like they're being religious, but that it's just their extension of worshipping God. That is not such a rigid structure that, you know, God looks upon the heart. And if it blesses them to dance and raise their hands to Him, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's not that they're worshipping other gods, they're worshipping the true God, and it's just an extension of their emotions and their love for God. Yeah. Really bless me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, God is, you know, He's just opened up people's hearts, just, you know, there's many ways we can express our hearts to God. We can speak in tongues, we can pray, we can raise, if you want to raise your hands, there's nothing, if you want to express your, you know, your body that way, you can. And, you know, like Kim said, like for me to put my hands up, I feel a bit weird about it. But, you know, I used to do it when I was in Pentecostal.
Yeah, I think it's just sometimes the way you're taught.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes you might need to reteach yourself. Because if you're going to God with a pure heart, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And it actually does say in the Bible about raising holy hands.
Yeah, but that's more like praying than doing it to God.
Yeah, but you can, you know, people's hearts are different, and we're all different, and God is the searcher of all hearts, so He knows what we mean by it. Do you want to come in, babies?
Yeah, so anybody else got anything to share? We're all blessed, we're all done.
I know we're late tonight.
I think we are done.
Yeah. That was a 3-hour fellowship.
But it was an awesome one tonight.
That's really great. Are you still there, Amy?
I'm still here.
Bless your heart, love. You all right?
Was there anything that you wanted to add to the fellowship at Stasis that I left out? Because I was trying to keep it short as
and
well.
And me, I forgot quite
and
a
and cover everybody.
Plus the jet lag.
Yeah, I did want to sort of feel that I was putting more attention from one to another, because all the fellowship was great, absolutely great. But,
it was such a wonderful time just having, I mean, people were there from Austin, Austin, Texas, and people were there from Plano, and it was just a great time just to see the body come together. But, you know, the thing about, Lawrence is teaching on Saturday was just, you know, like, there were several people that were there who actually thought, like I thought, this is for me. And it was just so cool, because that showed that, you know, the most various ways that God works in everybody's life, He's the one. You know, we gotta stop thinking we know everything and allow God to be God.
Yeah.
And no matter what the situation is, no matter how the, you know, what the circumstances are, He's still God. And He sees an overview of things that we could have no idea about. And, one of the things that, you know, and I'm just gonna say it. One of the things that, you know, God showed me is, you know, it's time, first of all, it's time to grow up.
Yeah.
And And another thing about growing up is that, you know, sometimes you have to move out of the areas of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, I was put to mind, you know, what came to mind is that, you know, when Nehemiah was building the wall, one of the admonishments that he made to the people is, if you're in your little houses and you're all comfortable, and, you know, and I don't have a house. So, I was thinking about that, you know, like, yeah, we get comfortable and we don't want to move out. We're kind of safe. But, you know, the thing about it is, this life that we have is eternal. And it became eternal the moment that we got born again. It's not about us coming to an end. It does not. Our life does not come to an end. It just does not. Because of what Jesus Christ finished. When he showed himself to those angels that were locked up in prison, that was, hey, victory call.
Amen.
We won. You know, it yes, that was a big mistake. Huge. So, y'all get ready. I'm moving to Bristol, United Kingdom. I don't know when. I don't know. I have no idea when that's going to happen. I just know that it is. And how it happens, I'm excited to see how God is working at it. Going to work it out. So, you know, that fear thing, we got to get past that. If the devil is telling us that, you know, this and this might not happen, or that could happen, or this, he is the father of lies. So if he's the father of lies, yeah, you can best bet the opposite is true. So if he's telling you, well, you don't have enough of this, well, you could just bet that you have more than enough of that, because he's a liar.
Yeah.
So, yep, going to Bristol.
Amen, sister. We can't wait to have you.
I can't wait to be there. I cannot wait to see what God has in hand, as it has in hand for me. I cannot wait to see, you know, because there's a lot of stuff. I was thinking about my grandchildren, and one of the things I was thinking about is they will have an opportunity to come to England. They've never, you know.
Yeah, that's a good perspective.
Yeah, you know, they'll have a place to stay. And I was thinking about Bambi and coming back to the United States, and I was like, wow, God, that is just an awesome, you know, example that he would actually show, you know, and let be known that, you know, Bambi's coming back to the United States. She doesn't know where she's going, but I promise that God has absolutely got this all worked out. And what she's going to get will be abundantly above all that she could ask or think.
Amen.
And it's not the thing, it's that's how God works. He is not a God of just enough. He is a God of more than anything we could ever think of.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bambi, you go ahead, girl. I know she's not there anymore, babe.
She'll listen to it.
I can't wait to hear it. And you know that Mary McGarry, we were talking about, you know, music, and we were talking about how, you know, we can't just ignore music and praise to God. That lets everybody else around us know about our God. It lets people around us know that we have the one true God, that we stand for him, and that we praise him, and he's the one that's doing all the work. We are his glory. We shine for him, not because of us, because that's what he wants. Look, I made you. You're going to shine. If we are God's children, we should, by all accounts, we need to shine, not for us, but because that's who God is.
Amen. That's right. Right on, sister.
I'm excited.
Me too. Anybody else want to share before we sign off? Bruce or Cindy? Frank?
Yes, I just went to St. Kilda's team and every believer, I don't remember all of the names, you know.
Okay.
You are a new believer for me. And yes, I was very, very blessed. And it was really speaking to me.
Oh.
And very encouraging me for things to come. And I thank you and love you all, and thank you very much, and Kim and Jason, and yes, love you.
Oh, I love you too, Frank. Bless your heart, bro.
Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Thank you. Bless you,
bless
too,
you guys.
And bless you, Hemi, Lawrence, Kim, and I think Bruce and Cindy. I don't see anyone else.
Yeah, they're all dropping bit by bit.
Cindy, are you still here, Bruce?
Bruce!
Yes,
Cindy was
all, I really need you all these 2 weeks, or three, but see you next week, or if you need anything. I don't come to the Skype so many times, but I'll try to come to see you during the week if there is anything. If not, in Facebook, I go every day.
Yes.
Okay? Love you all. Thank you so much for your sharings. And bonne nuit, Franck, un bisou pour votre femme. I was saying good night, Frank, and a kiss to your wife. Okay?
Merci, merci. Merci, thank you very much. What's your name?
Anna.
Anna, okay, thank you very
Anna
much.
Anna and Pedro, the ones from Portugal.
Okay.
So you are half away to Bristol. So, who knows? Bye, love you guys.
We love you. See you next week.
Bye,
God bless you.
Thank you next week. Bye.
Bless you, Bruce and Cindy.
Bless you guys too.
We love
you. Like I said, I fell asleep for a little while. It's been a long day.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
I really enjoyed it.
Bless your heart, though. And we're keeping you in our prayers, that's for sure, Bruce and Cindy.
Oh, thanks, Thomas.
We love you guys.
We love
missed
you guys too.
We missed you all. Okay, well, God bless everyone. We love you. See you next week.
You betcha. Yeah.
You're
bye
the best.
Bye.
God bless you. Bless you, Frank. Bye. Bye, Annie.
Bye.
Bye, Cindy.
Yeah.